You can tell the degree of the predictiveness of your pastor by the number of water bottles that are up there. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you never forget us. You never forsake us. Thank you for the indwelling presence of the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, to guide us. Spirit of God, we pray that as you fill us anew and afresh every day, right now at this hour, that the life of Jesus, our Savior, would be manifest in our lives, both in our character as well as in our conduct. And give us discernment, Spirit of Truth, that we would be able to discern truth from error. The gospel of Jesus Christ, as opposed to the many other gospels that are being preached and proclaimed in the world that we live in. Give us discernment, wisdom, understanding. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, your sermon. Wonderfully recorded in your word, as your inspired word and instruction, admonition, and encouragement for we who are your people today. Speak to us, Lord Jesus, through this your word and by your Spirit within us. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, please, to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew in chapter 7, as we continue in our study of the Sermon on the Mount, which encompasses actually three chapters, chapters 5, 6, and 7. We're coming to the close. And as we have mentioned in the previous Sunday, that this closing section to the Lord's Sermon on the Mount is filled with applications, personal applications, as well as corporate applications for the body of Christ. Applications coming from different perspectives of our life needs as Christians, as citizens in the kingdom of God. It began, if you will, with the first application about the wide way as opposed to the narrow way. We saw how that certainly is necessary for us to clearly understand there's only two ways. There's not three or four or half a dozen or a hundred. There's only two ways. It's either the way of the world that leads to destruction, or the way of Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. The way of life in Christ is narrow. It's hard. Not easy. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You'll understand that. The very words of Christ. For as he says, that way is hard. It was never meant to be a picnic in the park, as some would have us to believe. For as even as some preach another gospel. And here we come to, if you will, a tree and its fruit. And so follow with me as I read, because now the application is we need to discern truth from error. Clear gospel preaching and teaching from the teaching of another gospel. So follow with me as I read from the beginning of verse 15 of chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Obviously, the Lord is not talking about horticulture. He's using that as an illustration of good trees bearing good fruit. Bad trees are unhealthy, or diseased trees bearing unhealthy and diseased fruit. So we come into, well, where he's talking about false prophets, false teachers, and we're putting in the larger context of the New Testament, it would not just be prophets and teachers, but also preachers. And we see some of that going on today. False prophets, teachers, teachers and pastors too. Sunday schools can, teachers can fall into that category. Now the Lord wants us to discern, not necessarily to condemn the individual, because sometimes we get so rigid in our thinking, and if everyone doesn't cross the T's and dot the I's like we do, well then they're a heretic. No, there are some clear, distinct things that we need to learn from God's Word to be able to discern with spiritual wisdom, not with a fleshly, critical, and judgmental heart, which every one of us can do. And so as we come, if you go to this passage, in verse 15, the Lord is talking about the warning of false prophets and teachers and pastors, and you know, and it's not in a vacuum. He's not talking about something that just was new to Israel that day. In fact, as you see in your outline before you, it was something that was very common amongst God's people, that false prophets and false teachers would rise up. And that's why even in the Decalogue, if you will, in Deuteronomy 18, where in other passages too, where the Lord speaks through Moses and he warns his people about false prophets, false teachers, because it's that important that they understand that they need to discern between what is truth as opposed to what is error. And I dare say, because of where we are in our culture, and even in our Christian culture especially, many Christians aren't able to discern because they're not in the Word of God. And we'll get to that in a little while, just a little bit. But a lot of Christians are so easily led astray through false teaching, false prophecy, if you will, false preaching. And so here the Lord is not talking about something that was new at that time, but something that Israel had to deal with over their generations. Take a look in your outline before you, the issue of false prophets in the Old Testament. From Isaiah chapter 30. For they are rebellious people. The Lord is talking about his own people through the right, the true prophet Isaiah. And he said, for they are rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, they had both seers who had visions, and they would interpret those visions, and then they had also prophets. Do not see. And to the prophets, these rebellious children, if you will, of Israel, they were saying, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions. Part of the problem with false prophets and teachers then and today is that sometimes you had the audience that didn't want to hear the truth. And you have that today too, don't you? And so we can understand it's a two-sided formula, if you will, of communication. Excuse me. You have a false prophet or teacher prophesizing non-truth or error, but you also have those who are listening and they want to listen to error, not truth. And we also see this prevalent in the New Testament as well, and the warnings that the Lord gives through his apostles and the writings of the Apostle Paul, Peter, and John. And so we see that it's not just the back of false prophets, but it's also what do our hearts want to hear? The Lord speaks through Paul. He says, in the last days, there will be those who just want their ears to be tickled. And that they don't want to be upset over the issue of sin. Like Israel back then, they didn't want to be upset over the issue of the sin of rebellion, of disobedience to God. And so they said, don't preach these things. Don't speak these things to us. Speak things that are what? That are smooth things and that are illusions. Then again, take a look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, they have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is what? No peace. God said he's going to judge his people and bring in all these other nations to be his, if you, his sword, his hand of judgment on his people, that they would repent and return to him. And so the prophet of God would say, return to the Lord, return to the Lord, repent of your sin, return to the Lord. They didn't want to hear that. They wanted to continue in rebellion and rejection of the Lord. And so they had prophets and they had teachers and they had preachers who spoke exactly what they wanted to hear. Just talk about peace. Just talk about the love of God. Just talk about the mercy of God. We have that today too. Let's go on though. Warnings of false prophets and apostles and teachers and pastors in New Testament time. First of all, in this passage here that we see, they are deceitful. Notice in verse 15, it says, they come as in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So we know that they are deceitful. They're not really presenting what they really are inside. They're putting on a costume. They're putting on a mask. And so we see some things about the false prophets and teachers and pastors and preachers of today. They are deceitful. Take a look at 2 Corinthians, what Paul says. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will be correspond to their deeds. I want you to turn with me because in order for us to understand and to be able to discern false teaching, false preaching, we also need to understand what is their goal. You see, if you understand some of the strategy of the enemy, also you'll be able to discern the untruth that they're speaking. So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, you can write this down on your outline. I neglected to put this in. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul is talking about false apostles in that entire chapter. And he's talking about that there's other gospels, not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There are other Jesuses, but not the true Jesus, the Son of God. You have the Mormons, of course, and all the various cults and occults that are presenting another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Scripture, not Jesus, the Son of God, who came incarnate, clothed in human flesh, died on Calvary's cross for you and for me and for the sins of the whole world, and he rose again triumphant through the grave. We have cults, and we also have the occult that don't believe that. But they say, oh, we believe in Jesus. Ask a Jehovah's Witness friend, do you believe in Jesus? Sure, but that's another Jesus. Ask your Mormon friends if they believe in Jesus. Oh, sure. No, that's another Jesus. What is the intent then of all this deception? And it's going on rapidly today, using mass media and everything else. What is the goal? Look, let me share with you at least one of those goals. There are probably a number of them we could mention today, but we want to focus our hearts right now on one that is so desperately important because it's about your heart and my heart. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Verse 3. This is the goal of that deception that's going on today. Paul says, but I am afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve, and of course we know that Satan used that serpent, that manifestation of his presence there to deceive Eve, for her and Adam also to disobey God. As the serpent deceived thee by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from what? Notice what he's saying. This is the goal of that deception. If you're a born-again believer and you have a false prophet, a false teacher, a false pastor, a false preacher coming to you through the earwaves, whatever ways, okay? The goal that Satan has in using that error is to lead us away from the sincere and pure devotion to Jesus Christ. That's the goal. How many Christians today have been so deceived and moved away from that pure and sincere devotion to Jesus Christ? Many of them have. Many of them bear the wreckage of their lives and the lives of their loved ones because of it. That's how serious it is. Many churches have borne the wreckage too of that deception. But let's go on as we continue on to look at the false teachers that we are being warned about, false preachers and pastors. They are not only deceptive, but they are destructive. And take a look at also, he says, like ravenous wolves. The word there, ravenous, there is sometimes it's translated the idea of robbing someone. But that word also, in its intensive form, is that they come in to destroy, as ravenous wolves would come in packs. Take a look exactly what Paul says to the elders. I thank the Lord for our elders here in this church, and you need to pray for all of them. Thank the Lord for them. They are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are committed to the body of Christ here. There's no doubt about it, in my mind, in my heart, in my life. And we need to thank the Lord that we have men who faithfully fulfill the qualifications of the Word of God and are faithful to God. But let's go. I'm getting off the track. Forgive me. We're looking at Acts chapter 20. You have that before you. Be careful, or pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Paul is talking to the elders there from the church in Ephesus, where they met with him in Miletus. And he goes on to say, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And see, this isn't our church. It's Christ's church. Belongs to the Father too, because he's purchased every one of us by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. But then he goes on, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert. Why? The goal is to draw you away, to destroy your life, destroy your family, destroy your witness and testimony. And our witness and testimony is a church for Jesus Christ. The Judaizers, back in Paul's day, we would call them the legalists today. That's another form, if you will, of false prophecy, false teaching. Getting people bound up again in legalism. Paul's letter to the Galatians dealt with that, didn't it? So we have, if you will, the legalism of today. We also have the license, if you will, that, you know, in some of teaching and preaching of another gospel, anything goes. It's okay. Whatever you want to do. Yeah, the key there is being permissive. Being free. No. No. That's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll get into looking at some of the fruit of the good tree versus fruit of the bad tree. But here, if you will, Paul is warning the elders because he said, from outside the church will come. And from within the church body too. How many churches have been so devastated by divisions? And we're not talking about other churches. Any church that has existed for 50 years or more has experienced divisions, one or more. False teachers, false preachers, false pastors. Think of Jim Jones with Jonestown there in South America. False teacher, false preacher, false pastor. We're down there in mass. They all committed suicide. Think of Hobart Freeman. You probably don't know him. We ran into some of his disciples on the mission field. They were missionaries with good mission boards. But they got so led astray by a man named Hobart Freeman. He taught at the seminary, there at Great Seminary, until they realized, wait a second, this guy is really going off the main street. He's not teaching the truth. So I had to leave. What did he do? He started his own church called the Glory Bar. And every Sunday there, they would have miracles every day as a miracle. And Hobart Freeman would teach. Oh, you don't have to go to the doctor anymore. You just have to speak the name of Jesus. Hobart Freeman died and started with an infection in his toe. And he didn't go to the doctor. And that infection grew. Didn't go to the doctor. And it grew. And he died from that infection. The family in the church would not allow the state to have an autopsy done. But eventually it was done and they realized what had happened.
Why is it built?
But Hobart Freeman is another, if you will, false teacher. And I'm not using any current names today. But I'll give you some clear leading of discernment to examine the current names of today. Okay? But let's go on. Not only are they deceptive, they are destructive, but they also have their own destiny, don't they? That's what the Lord says. Take a look, if you will, in verse 19. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The Lord is talking about judgment. He's talking about their destiny, their end. Take a look at Philippians, if you want, in your outline before you, Philippians chapter 3. But before that, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. Their end will correspond to their deeds. And Paul, again, is talking about false apostles, false teachers, false pastors, false preachers. And then again, Philippians. Paul writes to the Philippians. He says, for many of whom I have often told you, I now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Their end is what? Destruction. So there are false teachers and false preachers and false pastors today. We said right from the get-go, when we started here 7 years ago, if you hear something that is preached or taught by me that is not in accord with the Word of God, please speak to me. The others will, believe me. I know they will, and I thank the Lord for that. I'm accountable to the Lord, and I'm accountable to the elders and the church family here. And what I preach and what I teach. That also goes for all of our teaching ministries in Stephen. All of our leadership ministries. You remember what Paul says. These false apostles, false teachers, false preachers can come in from outside and also from among your midst. Let's go on. If you have a testing of the messenger and the message, that's where we need discernment. And that's exactly what the Lord is talking about. Verses 16 through 20 talk about that discernment. He's talking certainly in the imagery of a good tree having good fruit and a diseased tree bringing forth diseased fruit. We can understand that analogy. But notice, if you will, he says in verse 16, you will recognize them. How? Do we look at their leaves? No. We look at their fruit. The word recognize here is from epignosko, which means to know fully, to fully comprehend, to be able to make a discerning decision and choice. This is error, this is truth. That's how this word is used. And so he goes on to say that they are knowable. They are knowable. They will be recognized by their fruits. First of all, by their character. By their character. A diseased tree produces unhealthy and diseased fruit. Take a look at verse 7. If you have that verse before you, as Paul continues to give that instruction as well, in accordance with the teaching of the Lord Jesus that we're looking at right now. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And the teaching that accords with godliness. Now he's getting into the issue of not just the content of what they're saying, but also the conduct of their lives. He is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about works. How many churches in the midst of turmoil and the wreckage that they have left from division have been a lot of heated words and all sorts of debate and controversy? And oftentimes over minor issues and not those important truths of the foundation of the church in Jesus Christ. That happens today. We need to be sure that we discern. Notice what it says in 2 Peter. Peter chimes in. They have eyes full of adultery. Oftentimes, false preachers, false teachers, false pastors are involved immorally, sexually, in the church, outside the church. We've seen it when we are growing up and maturing in Christ Jesus. And it happens again and again and again. He goes on to say, insatiable for sin, they entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained for greed. They're very covetous. They want more and more and more. So how are they knowable to us? How can we discern and make that clear, wise distinction between, if you will, false teachers, false pastors, false preachers? Check your character. Check your character. Now sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a while. I was growing up. My folks and my grandparents went to Open Baptist Church there in Carney, New Jersey. It was a little church, never aspired to be a great, great mega church. It was right there at the corner of that block. It grew, and then people would go sometimes to the mission field, sometimes to ministry, and sometimes other churches. Okay. And it was a great church. People were trained in the work of the ministry there. Little by little, in the course of time, and they took on a pastor. Well, he preached so well, and he did so well with people. But they didn't pick up certain cues. Lo and behold, they come to find out that he was having adulterous affairs with some of the members of the church. Some women outside the church finally came to the service. That story can be told over and over and over again. I remember Chuck Swindoll sitting down with a group of pastors there in Dallas, the Theological Center, Theological Seminary, and he was saying, you know, what's grieving my heart right now? He's saying, so many men and women that enter into the ministry have been so led astray, and they have been disqualified. False preachers, false teachers, false pastors. The wreckage they leave. Their communication, take a look. Bad fruit. Not only bad character, but bad fruit. Their communication. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Now I have a list of things there that if you will, that really define false teaching as opposed to good teaching, biblical teaching. First of all, false prophets, false teachers, false preachers, they preach on such things as holy, they avoid, circle that word, they avoid preaching on such things as holiness, righteousness, justice, and the wrath of God. They avoid that. One of the prominent preachers of today was on having been interviewed to one of the mega churches, and the interviewer said, we notice that you never preach on sin. Oh, we don't speak about sin. We speak about the goodness of God. People need to be encouraged. They need to be built up. They need to hear about the love of God and the goodness of God. Well, you know, before I hear the good news, I need to hear the bad news. If I have cancer and the doctor says, you just have a bad cold. And my wife says, well, doctor, is there something more there? No, I don't want to give him the bad news. I want to build him up. So Bill will think it's just a bad cold, when really Bill has cancer. False prophets avoid preaching on such things as holiness, righteousness, justice, and the wrath of God. False prophets avoid preaching on the doctrine of the final judgment. You won't hear about that. If you do, it's just glossed over. False prophets and teachers fail to emphasize the fallenness and depravity of humanity. Well, it's not so bad right now. Things are getting better and better. Are they really? Well, according to false prophets and pastors and teachers that are false and not preaching the truth, yes. That's their message. That's their content. That's what they're communicating. False prophets de-emphasize the substitutionary death and atonement of Jesus Christ for sinners. And we have that not only in the cults and the occult, but we also have that in others that profess to preach the gospel. And there's a whole debate going on between them and others. They say, well, let's go. No, this blood stuff. Come on now. We got to get rid of this blood stuff. We're talking about grace and goodness and love. Well, it took the blood of Jesus Christ to be poured out in his life on Calvary's gospel for your redemption, for my redemption. The price was paid in what? Be like the Bereans. Paul was preaching there in Thessalonica, and he went down to Berea. And the Bereans, they were more noble than the Thessalonians, Luke writes. Take a look. He said, now these Jews were more noble than those of Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness. Yeah, we want to hear this good news, this gospel. Yes, yes. But they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's important. That's why so many professing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today are so easily deceived and misdirected away from that pure and sincere devotion to Jesus Christ. And that's why also there are so many things that rise up in local churches that just tear them apart, because God's people, unfortunately, are illiterate when it comes to the Word of God. Oh, they have their favorite book series, and they can't wait for the next novel to come out in that series. But they're illiterate in reading the Word of God. We need to be like the Bereans. We need to test the things that we hear, both on TV, on the radio, on this pulpit, or from any other pulpit, with the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God mean? And how do I apply it? Amen? Yes. They're converts. Three areas that you and I can know. False teachers, false apostles, false pastors, false preachers. They're converts. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. They were the false teachers of that day. Okay? Hypocrites. They were wearing the mask. They were disguising themselves. They were leading people astray. For you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. You see, they were winning people through their thinking. I wouldn't say they were winning souls, but they were certainly winning people through their thinking, through their teaching. He said, and notice what he said, and when he becomes a proselyte, like them, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Three ways we need discernment. And we make that discernment based on the Word of God. Nothing else but the Word of God. Their character, their communication, and their conduct. First Timothy, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. How do you determine a good trait? By their fruit. By their fruit. The fruit of knowing with a deep, heartfelt conviction that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only one true gospel based on what God has said in His Word. With a deep conviction based on God's Word that it is a gospel of grace and new life brought about by the Holy Spirit, that lives are changed through Jesus Christ. A person can't say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a saved person now. I'm a Christian and I can do whatever I want. They might not say it, but that's what they're doing. You tell them by their fruit. Tell them by their fruit. What is a fruit? Write these things down. What is a good fruit? Good fruit coming from a good tree? In the life of, if you will, the apostles, the preachers, the pastors, the teachers, and the church itself, because the church itself is a minister of the Holy Spirit, minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, the fruit of repentance. The fruit of repentance. I know what I did was wrong before, and I do not want to do that again. Now, sometimes I stumble and I find myself doing it, but I confess my sin to Jesus Christ, knowing that in God's Word, God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Now, that one really deserves an amen. Yes. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, right? Yeah. And so, but there is a fruit of repentance, that there is a change of direction now. I was going this way. I was all for Bill Gray. Even my marriage, I was all for Bill Gray. Even with my children, I was all for Bill Gray. I was doing things that I'm ashamed of doing I would never do now. Now I still sin. You know it. And I know it. But I know that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, has been working in my marriage, my family. Do you have that same knowledge and awareness? I pray you do. I mean that with all my heart. I pray that you have that same. That's the fruit of repentance. Turning from here and I'm going with Jesus. Okay? Now, there's another fruit also. There's a fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. The fruit of righteousness. Are you now doing righteous things as opposed to unrighteous things in the past? The fruit of righteousness. You know, sometimes we talk about, oh, the fruit of the tree of life and the life of the beginning. We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we're talking about that. We'll get to that shortly. But there's other fruit, too, that God intends and His purpose to develop in the life of His children. The fruit of repentance. I'm going a different direction now. I'm making different choices. I'm making different decisions. The fruit of repentance. The fruit of the Spirit. Before we get there, the fruit of new believers. The fruit of the gospel. The fruit of the gospel. Having the opportunity to lead people to Jesus. That's John chapter 15, verse 16. Where the Lord says, I've chosen you to bear fruit, and then your fruit will remain. Why? Because you have the truth of the gospel. The gospel works. Aren't you glad? And when the gospel is truly received into the heart of a person, that being regenerated by the Holy Spirit, that life is being changed, and there's joy. Amen? Yeah. And so, you have the fruit of the gospel, then you also have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And basically, all those things add up to one thing. A life that is being transformed. I say being transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Here on your page before you, three things that we need to do. I need to do two. We need to heed the warnings. There are many of them about false teaching, false pastors, false apostles. We need to heed the warnings. They are real and frequent. So they really matter. We need to read the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God so we can discern what is error as opposed to what is truth. And then we need to see their works. Three things. Simple. Amen? I like simple things. You know that. I'm a simple guy. You know that right from the beginning. Okay? But just three things. We need to heed the warning, we need to read the Word, and we need to see their works. Amen? Why? Because God really, your Heavenly Father really, really wants you to mature and me to mature. He wants us to grow in the likeness of His Son. Take a look, just in closing, reading. Follow with me as I read Ephesians, because Paul is again encouraging the believers here in Ephesus with this. And he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You're in ministry. I'm in ministry together. We're better together, aren't we? Amen. For building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith. Underline that. Unity of the faith. When dissension When deception reigns, there's no unity. No unity at all, okay? Unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Underline that. How do you get the knowledge of the Son of God? God, the Word of God. Stay in the Word. Remember. Remember. Heed the warnings, read the Word, see the works. And then he goes on to say, to a mature manhood, to the measure, the stature, and the fullness of Christ. Underline that. That's so important that we press on to maturity in Christ Jesus. So important, because it's important to our Heavenly Father. Can you imagine having children that you want to keep them in diapers the rest of their life? Now eventually we may end up there. I'm sorry. good. All right. Okay. You know, the last thing that goes should be your sense of humor. But notice, circle it, so that we may longer be children. Take a look. Children what? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, not truth doctrine, but false doctrine. Every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, deceitfulness, by the craftiness of deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, and I pray I've been speaking the truth in love. I love you guys and gals, I really do. And I've been praying as we've prepared and preparing this message. Lord, may I do it with love. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. It's not bad when we say to each other, time to grow up. That's a good reminder. You can tell that to me too, okay? All right. We are to grow up in every way to Him who is ahead into Christ. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that is living and powerful and effective. It actually works in lives of your children. Thank you, Father, for the new birth because of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, proclaiming the finished work of Jesus and the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the life of your children. Lord, thank you. Help us. Give us that wisdom, that knowledge, that understanding to be discerning, to be able to discern error from truth, and to live in the truth and walk in the truth and speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.